This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, what's going on, folks? We've made it. We're here. After all of the, you know, hey, load management and what do the Lakers look like and will we ever see the Nets' big three actually play games together? It felt like they've never done it. We've got playoff basketball. And I got to tell you, today, if you weren't sitting in front of your television all day just watching games nonstop, you missed out. I mean, just what a wonderful, fun, crazy, just great day of basketball. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of things we're going to be doing. A very heavy NBA show today. There's a great, incredibly dumb scandal involving LeBron James promoting tequila and whether or not he should be able to play in the game tomorrow against the Suns. It is just as dumb as it sounds. We will talk about that in about an hour. But yes, I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. James Graceffo is here as always producing the show. And let's get into some of the major things. We'll start with the Bucks and the Heat in just a moment. But first, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So, looking at the Bucks and the Heat, this was a series that, like, a week ago, we were having a conversation about what the Bucks were doing, which was, at the end of the season, they were playing a game against the Heat. For the Bucks, they were better off trying to lose that game. They were better off trying to throw it. Because the whole idea was, you don't want to match up with the Miami Heat if you don't have to. Considering the other teams in the East, I mean, if you get the Hawks, for example, I'd much rather play the Hawks than have to play the Heat. And the Bucks didn't care. They were playing. I guess they wanted to lock up the two seed. They thought that was important. So they end up matching up against the Heat in the first round. And the game was crazy today. I mean, it was classic Miami Heat. Like, just super gritty. Jimmy Butler missing a lot of shots, but making big shots. It was such a weird Giannis game. Oh, my God. What a strange, bizarre Giannis game. I got to tell you. Like, he had points where, I mean, he's missing foul shots like crazy. We'll talk foul shots in a second. He got injured at one point where he was running around a screen and his arm got busted up and they had to put a sleeve on it. You had no idea what he was going to look like and could he hit shots. He had terrible defense at one point. I mean, at the very end of regulation, he's just does basically nothing to Jimmy Butler. He's like, oh, you want to drive to the net to tie the game at the end of regulation? I mean, here you go. And like Jimmy Butler just went to the basket. So it was a very strange game for Giannis. And in a way, it's just another reminder of who Giannis is, right? Like, we see this so many times. And when you look at playoff basketball, we always talk about it. And now you see the reality again. Now we remember, because all of that stuff, regular season is essentially preseason. We know the basketball's different. The game planning is going to be different. The defense is going to be different. And so when you see Giannis and he's missing shots all over the floor, okay, yeah, he can still drive and he can do other things, but you see the complications with Giannis and you just go, like, man, it's just, how much can you ride this guy? Like, what do the Bucks need to do? What needs to be around him to get the most out of that team? And this is where it got interesting today, because for the Bucks, as much as seeing playoff Giannis and watching what he brought to the table and what he didn't, and trying to figure out what the Bucks' title odds really are, you realize what the team is about and what it's going to take for the Bucks to get to that next level. What is it going to be if the Bucks really do want to get to the finals? Beat the Heat, who beat them last year in the bubble. What is it going to take to beat them in round one, the Nets in round two, the soon-to-be world champion 76ers in the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, what would it take for them to do it? And it's the other two guys in that big three. Like, you know what Giannis is. He is not going to be the guy that is giving you those buckets at the end of the game. You just can't believe in him as a shooter. It's too long that he's been in the league. It's too many playoff appearances. For the same thing tomorrow, we're going to have this conversation. It's going to be Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons isn't going to shoot much. He's just going to pass the ball all the time. He'll drive to the basket once in a while. We'll see how aggressive he is about it. But that's who he is at this point. Like, I don't expect Ben Simmons to come out tomorrow and just start firing shots from all over the court. He's been saving it up for the playoffs, baby. Here we go. Like, it's just not who he is. So seeing Giannis here again like this, it's just a reminder that, yes, this is who Giannis Antetokounmpo is. This is just the kind of player he is. But Jimmy Butler hits that shot at the end of regulation, and he does tie it up, but you do have overtime. And at the end of the game, Chris Middleton being the guy to hit a shot to put the Bucks ahead with 0.5 seconds left, that's what you look at and you go, you know, this is it. Like, this is what the Bucks are going to have to be. Giannis is going to give you what he gives you, and we've got a pretty good idea of what that is, but what can the other guys be? How much better can they look? How much more do they grow? And for Middleton to hit that shot, it's huge. I mean, he talked about it after the game. It's a confidence booster, all that kind of stuff. He's totally right. He's going to have to be more of the man. He's going to have to take on that responsibility. And I'm excited to see it. Like, that is one of the most intriguing questions of this playoff run here, is what do Middleton and the other guy, who also showed up in a huge way at the end of the game, and that's what's so fun and interesting about the Bucks with this big three, is Middleton hits the shot, and then on the other side of the floor, the Heat try to get the ball. They do this quick inbounds play. They get the ball to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's in the corner. Deadly player. And he turns around, and he goes to take a shot, and the clock's expiring, and Drew Holiday gets his hand on the ball. And you go, okay, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And to see that kind of transition, if you will, for the Bucks as a franchise, to see what that move did with getting Drew Holiday and bringing him in, it was like, okay, this is what you buy in if you're going to believe in the Milwaukee Bucks and their ability to win games and go as far as the expectations are, which is conference finals, NBA finals. That's who they got to be, right? They've been together for too long now. They've been at that ceiling for a while. Again, it feels like Giannis has hit a ceiling. And so you need that growth. And they made that Drew Holiday trade. They went all in. The whole idea being that, hey, we got to keep Giannis in town. They did that. So what does it look like with this new group for the first playoff game? Ugly. Ugly. And it's going to be a crazy series. I mean, that's a 6-game, 7-game series. That's what it's looking like from here. And to see that kind of performance from Middleton, from Drew Holiday, very encouraging. As much as it was weird from Giannis. Because here's one of the things that was so insane about the game today. I don't know if you saw this, but I'm watching the game, and Giannis is going to take free throws. And suddenly there's all this commotion. And you're like, wait, what is going on here? Whistles blown. People are kind of like looking around and pointing and talking. And it was a weird tension going on. You're like, what just happened here? Giannis got called for a 10-second violation on a free throw. I don't know if you know that that rule exists. I didn't know that rule exists. Like, they don't call it. They don't call it. Graceffo, have you ever heard of that rule in your life, the 10-second free throw rule?
No.
It's weird. It's just it's a very weird thing to happen. And you got to think about all the circumstances that go into that free throw play. Right? Because let me set the scene for you. I mean, there's a minute left in a playoff game. There's a minute. It's a one-point game. It's 97-96. Giannis is a two-time MVP. He's a defensive player of the year. He's one of the biggest names the league has. And as he's going to take that foul shot, and the clock's ticking, and if you watch the replays that are out there, you can see these videos of the ref, and he's sitting there on the side, and he's like clicking his fingers together. It's like a little tap, one, tap, two, tap, three, tap, four. And he gets to about 13, so he measures about 13 seconds and then blows the whistle, and that's it for Giannis. He doesn't get the shot. He blew it. He took too long. And the whole thing is incredibly fascinating. I mean, should they make that call? Should that call be made? Should a referee in a playoff game with a minute left and a one-point difference make a call on something that is so small, so insignificant, something that's never enforced? Absolutely not. I'm sorry. Like, there's no business for something like that to happen. Vince, it's a rule. It's in the rule book. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things that are in the rule book. There's plenty of things that are written into law wherever you live, but that doesn't mean we follow all of those rules anymore, you know? Like, there's all sorts of crazy laws about, hey, traffic and how many people can live in a certain floor of a building. Like, it's just, there's crazy out there. There's a law, I think it's in California, about if you're racing frogs and one of them dies, you can't eat the frog after the race. You know what I mean? Like, it's a law. It's in the books. Who's enforcing that? Who knows it exists? Who cares about that? It's an insignificant rule. Having things in the rule book, and for sports, we see this all the time, where what happens is you get a conversation after the season where the league and coaches, competition committees, whatever, they get together and they'll say, well, maybe we should emphasize this more this coming season. Like in the NFL, it'll be like, all right, let's emphasize pass interference a little bit more this year. Let's actually lay off on pass interference. What is a catch? We don't know. Like, let's be more lenient about catches this year. But they'll look at things and come to a concerted decision and say, we're going to enforce this all year long. If that's how it's going to work, great. Great. But to do it in a playoff game with a minute left in a one-point game is ludicrous. I mean, I can't believe they did it. I can't believe that happened. And the one thing I will say, as much as I just think the whole thing's crazy, is credit to the Heat. Credit to the Heat. Because the interesting thing about it is, and this is the deep level deviousness of the playoffs that really makes it special. Like, this is the kind of thing that when you look at playoff basketball and what makes it great, you go, okay, little nuances like this are what separate good teams from great teams and what takes the whole, you know, drama of it to another level. Caron Butler is sitting there He's standing there as Giannis is taking the shot. He's an assistant coach for the Heat. He's standing up. And he is yelling at the officials as Giannis is sitting there. And, oh, let me get my arms and let me flex them a little bit. I'm going to kind of once or twice kind of go through the motion of shooting the shot. And he's just doing the typical Giannis thing. I mean, right? Like all these guys shoot 10, 12 free throws a game when you're a big star like that. And he does this all the time. So clearly, Butler had been watching this, like scouting the Bucks, right? And watching how they go through all of this and being like, you know, at some point, I want to call for this. Like, I'm going to push them to go and make this call. And with 1 minute left and a one-point game and an MVP at the line, he goes and he pushes for the call. It hits 13 seconds. And at that point, the refs were like, yeah, you know what? It has actually been long enough. We've given you more than enough time to get off this shot. And they made the call. But should they have? Should they have? As much as it's brilliant on the Heat to have that little thing, to have that kind of game planning, to try to find every possible advantage, for them to do that is a credit to them. But should the refs call? Should they have made the call? 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I get that it's in the rules. I totally get it. I understand. You could say, yeah, Vince, it's in the rules. But if you don't enforce it all year long, what are you doing? What are you doing? In a moment like that, what are you doing? Carries. Oh, my God. The number of times carrying the basketball. Isn't carrying the basketball in the rule book? Doesn't everybody carry all the time? Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's just part of basketball. It happens. You don't worry about it. So seeing them call that play is just, it's crazy to me. So 855-212-4227. You can also join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn, and that's all one word. It's Vince Quinn. So again, we got a lot of playoff stuff to get into here because you had a lot of games today, four games today. We got another four games tomorrow. So a lot of basketball here as we start the show.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's such a listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's funny, this song was such a big, like, jock jam stadium, like, always played all the time. You'd hear this everywhere. I feel like you don't hear it as much anymore. It's gotten phased out by other stuff. Like, watching the playoff games today, one of the songs that I realized, I was like, wow, this song's been playing in stadiums for, like, 15, 20 years now. It's that that Zombie Nation song. Oh, 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 oh. You know what I'm talking about, Graceffo? You have
no.
to. You don't know what I'm talking about, that
no.
song? You have no idea. You've never heard of Zombie Nation in your life.
Do you mean Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes?
No, 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 no. I mean Zombie Nation. It's like a techno song from like 2002.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I got you now.
Yeah. No, that song, it just plays all the time in stadiums. Because it used to be like, growing up, going to games as a kid, it was like, you'd hear this all the time. The number of times I heard like, Welcome to the Jungle from Guns N' Roses. You know, you just have certain songs. It's like, yes, you're at a stadium.
I think it's because Mark Wahlberg is uber famous now, so you would rather forget that this happened.
Yeah, I know he, but whether or not he wants it to be played and whether or not the people want it to be played are two different things, right? Like, stadiums will gladly play it if that's the mood, but it just feels like it's changed. You don't hear as much of those old school jock jams anymore, which I'm not necessarily lamenting, but
I am.
Well, yeah, you're a big fan of the old school jock jams.
Of course.
Yeah, I just see you like sitting at home by yourself, like having a one-man party, rocking out to, Ride the Train.
Every movie that I watched that I grew up had that song in it. So, I mean, like the Mighty Ducks had that song in it.
Well, that's all the reason, right? Like,
right,
it's just,
yeah.
It played at every stadium ever. It was just like the most kind of sports song of all time. Look up Zombie Nation for me. Just we should play
the
that.
The Bruins have that as their goal song.
Yeah,
now I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, no, a lot of teams have used it in different ways over the years. But anyway, we've been talking about stuff that actually matters. in sports, which has been mainly the Giannis free throw. I mean, once in a while, we should actually do those things too. The Giannis free throw has been just a fascinating, odd thing to see in the very first game of the playoffs here with a high-profile player at the end of the game. It's a one-point game, and they call a 10-second violation on a foul shot. I didn't know it was a rule before today. I didn't know. I'd never seen it before. I'm asking on Twitter how many people knew that it existed before today. If you want to vote and tell me what the deal was for you, at It's Vince Quinn. I pinned it as a tweet, so it's the first tweet you'll see there. And should they have made the call? Which to me, no, they shouldn't have made the call. Issue a warning. You haven't called it all year. I don't know if they've called it on Giannis in his career. I don't know how many times historically they've called that. I've just never seen it. So 855-212-4227. We go to Jim in Boston. Jim, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Just getting out of work. I was listening to the I didn't see the play, but I absolutely knew about the 10-second rule. And the bigger question is, what's he taking so long for shooting a free throw? That's my thing. With that much, I mean, 13 seconds to shoot one free throw, that's over the top. If you think back to the 90s, I think it was, Patrick Ewing, and the crowd used to count down because he pushed it so close to the edge, and he'd shoot right at 10. Everybody knew it was a 10-second rule. So maybe not so much now, but back in the day, you knew it was a 10-second rule.
Yeah, because the thing is, Jim, like because for all the guys that I've seen now over the years, it's so much of like, all right, I'm going to dribble it once or twice. I'm going to fake that. I'm going to imagine myself hitting the shot. I'm going to dribble it once or twice again. I might, like, I don't know, shoot a text to somebody, and then I'll go and take the shot. Like, they just have these long, elaborate routines with shots these days.
But if you look at some games, even, you know, the past week, you won't find anybody that goes over 13 seconds. I guarantee you. It seems like forever, but it's not 13 seconds. It's on a scientific thing, but I'm pretty much guaranteeing you that they count. Just like they do the 5 seconds and the 10 seconds over half court.
Yeah.
The ref's got his hand moving. They do that with you might not see it on TV, but they do it.
Well, and that's the thing, is they highlighted the referee sitting there at the side tapping his fingers together to count each second, and that was the thing that was like, oh, okay, yeah, so I guess they're doing that all the time. And, Jim, I appreciate it, man. Like, yeah, the thing is, and this is part of what I'm curious about, of thinking of that moment with Giannis and the Bucks and the Heat and making that call. Was that the case earlier in the game? I mean, were they doing that all game long? Like, were the Heat constantly campaigning about it? Because I didn't notice it. And, like, once the call was made, it was pointed out. Like, did you see Caron Butler there? He's yelling at the refs about it and all. Because, like, a lot of times you see a free throw and it's like, all right, they're shooting free throws. I'm going to get a glass of water or something. Because these guys, they take so long. It feels like all of them take long. You know, so to see a moment like that where it's like, okay, they're aggressive about it. Was it something that the Heat just at the end of the game were like, this is a secret weapon that we want to employ because it's a late game? Did you notice them doing it earlier in the game? It was peculiar. It's Giannis. How many free throws did Giannis take this year? I mean, 1,000? Like, he gets fouled all the time. He took 13 free throws tonight. Okay? He took 13 of them. He missed a lot. He only made maybe 6. But for the number of free throws that he took, it's crazy to see that rule. Let's go to Oz in Sacramento. Oz, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Last caller stole a little thunder with the 5 second and the 10 second, which actually is 8 seconds now. But I don't think it should have been called because they don't call 3 seconds. They don't call the traveling. They don't call carrying. They don't call the push-off or anything else. They let them play, and I'll guarantee that Miami, throughout the course of the game, were in the ref's ears every time he would shoot. And it probably got to the point that, okay, you know, now it's real absurd. We got to call it because, you know, 1 point lead, you know, a minute to go.
And that might be what it is. If there's a tension all game, then it does get to a point where once he's egregiously breaking the rules, you are getting the 13 seconds before they actually call it. I guess that's what it is. He broke the limits.
Yeah. Hey, a couple other things real quick.
Yeah.
you know, MVP in the league, and I'm a Warrior fan. I'm out here in Sacramento. And no, I don't think Steph should win it. I think he should finish second because I think it was more valuable to his team than anybody else. And Jokic, on the, you know, the fact that he didn't miss any games and put up the numbers he did, even though I don't think he's as valuable to Denver as Steph was to the Warriors, mm-hmm. Should win it. Embiid, I think he missed way too many games to even be in the top three.
Oh, see, you know? I wouldn't say that just given that it's a shorter year. He missed a number of games, but, man, I mean, some of it was like weird COVID stuff. He wasn't all that injured, and he's just, I mean, he's insanely good on both ends. And I appreciate it. Here's the thing is with the MVP race, and this is a different conversation, right? This is always the thing that you get into with MVP that's fun. It's fun to talk about. It's part of what makes the award so great because there's so many different ways. What I think is the most valuable player, like what that means, might be different than what Graceffo thinks, which might be different than what you think, which might be different than what, I don't know, your neighbor's annoying nephew thinks, like whatever it is. There's just so many people have so many different ideas, and you can make cases for eight different guys in a given year. But right now, Jokic, he just is the guy. You just can't, he's the guy. He played every single game for the Nuggets. He was phenomenal all year long. He had been an MVP candidate early in the season. It wasn't one of those guys where, oh, he came on late or he was great early and he faded. He just did it all year. Like, this was easy. Is Steph Curry a better player? Yeah, of course he's a better player. Like, I will easily take Steph Curry if I'm building a team for right now. I'm taking Steph over Jokic. I'm not thinking twice about that. But look at the year Jokic had, you know? So, anyway, let's go to Mitchell in Dallas. Mitchell, how are you feeling about the win today?
Oh, good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, man. I just want to point out, man, Rick Carlisle, he doesn't get the love he deserves, man. This guy's been through it, you know? They tried to build with Dirk, didn't, you know, got the one title. Now, you know, Luka falls in their lap. But just how good of a job he's done keeping this team relevant, you know, for however long he's been here. It's been amazing. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, no, he's a great coach. And I like the way that, for example, there was a moment in the game today, Luka gets his third foul, and two of them were sloppy. I mean, it was just like he didn't need to do it, but he decided, like, yeah, I'm going to stop this fast break in the first quarter or the second quarter. Let me go and just burn a foul. And Carlisle was like, get out of here, man. Like, what are you doing? Get out of the game. So they pulled him for a couple of minutes. They put in Brunson, and then they put Luka back out there. And sure enough, Luka was tearing things up. But, like, for him to do that to his star player, you've got this young kid. He hasn't played a ton of playoff games. That was like, you know, that's a great coach doing the right thing.
Yeah, that's my point, too, you know. And my next point is here, you know, I think we need to stop calling it the Porzingis trade. We need to really start calling it the Tim Hardaway Jr. trade. I mean, the guy's the guy's been flat out amazing, man. I mean, you know, it's kind of been Luka's right hand man. You know, Luka talked about it after the game. The guy's come off the bench. The guy's started. You know, he's got such a tough role being that guy. But you look at THJ today, 21 points, you know, 5 of 9 from 3. I mean, just good minutes. The guy plays hard, you know, and he plays with a passion you don't see anymore. You know, Batum and Dodo and, you know, Porzingis ended up with 14, but it was quiet. You know, until the last dark late. They're going to need bigger minutes out of Willie Cauley-Stein. I think Cauley-Stein's going to play a role in this, you know, as more of an enforcer down the stretch.
And it's going to be interesting because a lot of it is matchup-based, right? Like, there's going to be certain teams that a guy might not play, right, or there's going to be certain situations where a guy doesn't play, and you match based on the other adjustments from the other team. So there's a lot of the gamesmanship, Mitchell, and that's what's part of what makes the playoffs so great is all of those different kinds of adjustments. Now, for the Nets, and we'll get to all these different games over the course of the night. But, man, the Nets, it's so funny because for the Nets, like, they're just playing who they got. You know, like, they're not going to be doing all sorts of crazy dramatic changes for the Nets. Kevin Durant, 39 minutes. Kyrie, 37. James Harden, 36. Joe Harris, 37. Like, those guys, their starting five is essentially going to play the whole game, every game. The only guy that's really rotating, Blake Griffin in the starting five, played 20 minutes. But otherwise, it's just the stars and Joe Harris. Like, that is the Nets. That's who they are. That's what they're going to be. Nets, by the way, this is, again, it's exactly who they are. They had 104 points tonight against Boston. 104. Which, for them, in the playoffs and what the expectations are, may be a little low. They were a little cold in the first half. But 82 of 104 points were Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. That's the Nets. Like, that's the Nets. That is exactly what they're going to be the whole way. So for some of these teams, you're going to look, and maybe the Lakers tomorrow, right, as they play the Suns. They've got all these different bigs that they'd like to rotate in. Andre Drummond, and they've got Gasol, and they've got Harrell, and who plays in what matchups for how long. There's going to be all this analysis. And for the Lakers, they'll change it up. Like, they'll figure it out as they go, and they're going to put in different guys. But for the Nets, it's just like, yeah, these are the guys. You're going to have other here and there, but man, that's part of the appeal, right? That's what you lean into. It's just superstar talent all day, every day, and usually that's going to win out. So 855-212-4227, that's how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We got so many things to get into still here, and what I want to do next, one, the Jacksonville Jaguars continue to just be an absolute clown show despite having a cake situation and a dumb LeBron James candle. Let's talk about that next.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, live with a free Neapolitan ice cream sandwich. It is Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So, did the machine just give you, it just gave you two, Graceffo?
Yeah.
Now, did it, because here's what happened with me. I had one time with the machine where I got, it was one of those ice cream cones where it has, it's just like a single scoop of vanilla at the top. But then it's got the chocolate coating, and it's got the nuts on it. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, amazing treat. And it went, and it's the ice cream machine, so it goes and, like, sucks the thing out. So it sucked out one, dropped it, immediately went back, grabbed a second. It did the same thing here with the ice cream sandwiches.
Correct.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Love when a vending machine breaks. Or there was a last week, I just found it just fell out. There was a Coke just...
Well, you love when a vending machine breaks in your favor.
I love free stuff, yes. Because other times, vending machines are... It's like a casino, basically. Because there's times where you go, and there's that bag that's hanging by the corner, and that drives everybody nuts. And then it turns into this weird game where everybody in the office is like, yeah, I think I can knock the machine enough to get that down. And you got like eight dudes charging a vending machine trying to get a 50-cent bag of chips that they didn't want to eat anyway. Because they don't like salt and vinegar. But you know what? If the bag is free, who are they to say no? So now, like, you get those kinds of moments. There's times where, I don't know how this happens, but, well, actually, I know exactly how this happens. Because I do the same thing. I'm an idiot. So, like, I have a goldfish brain, and I'll just forget what I'm doing. But I went to the vending machine maybe a week ago, and there was a can of Coke that was just sitting there. Like, somebody had paid for it. It dropped out of the vending machine, and they just walked away. They just, I was like, why is it? It's just sitting here. Now, I don't know why cans of soda are in a vending machine when they can fall. And then, you know, what happens? It's all shaken up, but whatever. Anyway, now the sandwich is melting in my hands. This is how it's going. But we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Now, to start things here, I found it curious that you've got a situation at the end of the game. It's the Bucks in the Heat. There's a minute left. Giannis is shooting free throws, which he's done at minimum. I've got his regular season career numbers. 4,107 times, okay? Minimum. 4,107 free throws over the course of his career. And he just gets blown for a 10-second free throw violation. He takes too long. He gets up to 13 seconds, and they call it. With a one-point game in the final minute of a playoff game against an MVP. Just a fascinating thing. And one of the things I was curious about, and I've gotten some information here. So if you know about this, somebody's telling me there was conversation about Giannis's free throw shooting and the time that it took. It started a week ago. Now, I haven't seen anything about that. I don't know anything about that. This blindsided me. And that's why I'm asking the question on Twitter, because I'm genuinely curious. Did you know that it was even a rule? Because when I saw it happen, I go like, wait, what? Like a 10-second violation? Seriously? Like this is a thing? And I'm like, yes, this is in the rule book. They don't call it, but it's there. And I go, yeah, you certainly don't call it. I've never seen it in my life. Never once. And so I'm asking the question on Twitter. Did you know about the 10-second free throw rule before today? And right now, 46% have said no. They didn't know. Like, it's just, it's crazy to call a rule like that at the end of a game. So I hated the call. I don't think that's what you should have done. Do you give Giannis a warning and go from there? Like, yeah. Maybe they warned him earlier in the game and we missed it, but as far as I can tell, they just called it. He was shocked. Budenholzer was shocked. Like, it just nobody had any idea. So 855-212-4227 if you want to talk about that. And let's get Jack from Atlanta, and I'll munch on some ice cream. Jack, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm just as curious as you about the timing of the Giannis call. And I have a comment on Tebow, but, you know, I called in about Giannis. And,
yeah,
you know, my whole thing is, okay, to your question, I was watching a TNT game with the Bucks about 3 weeks ago, maybe the Sixers or something like that. And Chris Webber, before he retired, he was counting down the seconds. So a lot of people were aware of how long he was taking.
Mm-hmm.
And just the timing of when it happened, one-point game in the playoffs, I just find it interesting, you know, really kind of questionable to me. But, yeah, I wanted to comment on that. They were counting it down on TNT about 2-3 weeks ago.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, so it's been something. If the Heat were complaining, why not do it with 10 minutes left in the game or in the third quarter? Mm-hmm. I don't get that. So I'll let you – anything you got on that, cool. And then I got something about Tebow because he seems to be blowing up everywhere.
Yeah, well, he always does, and we can talk about him in a sec. So first thing is, for the broadcast to mention it and them to talk about it, that's one thing. But, like, was anybody talking to Giannis about it? Had he been asked questions about it? Had anybody said anything to the Bucks? Were they aware of it? Because all the things that happen on a broadcast, like, they're not necessarily aware of that, you know? So it's a different game. But it is interesting that it was being brought up in dramatic fashion with a countdown clock, and they just – it didn't register. So, anyway, that's a good point. What do you want to say about Tebow real quick?
So the one thing – and there might be a lot of people that brought this up. I have no idea, but I haven't seen it brought it up yet. You know, Urban Meyer, I'm a Georgia football fan, okay? So I've got really bad memories about him at Florida with Tebow. And the one thing that I find interesting is, you know, what if they're bringing him in to be, like, just a wildcat guy? Even if, you know, he makes the team, I don't know if he will. But, it, you know, to me, if he can be a wildcat guy with Etienne and motion or whatever and the goal, you know, package, that could be as simple as that to see how it works out. And there's been a whole lot of outlash. And,
yeah, well, know. Here's the thing, Jack, with the wildcat thing. I get where you're coming from with that. He got a lot of chances at quarterback. It didn't work out. They're not even saying he's a quarterback. I mean, they're saying he's a tight end. So I don't think that's the case here. I think he's legitimately trying for a real position change. And if they did any wildcat stuff, I mean, it'd be a super deep in the playbook gimmick. But I don't know if he's going to make the team. And Jack, thanks for the call. Like, let's be real here. He's a third string tight end at best right now. He's a third string tight end on a god-awful team. Nobody believes, really, that he should be on the roster. Nobody really believes that he's going to make the roster. They gave him a veteran minimum deal. There's no guarantees. That is not a commitment. That's not a commitment at all. Now, the number of jerseys they've probably sold from the moment they signed him officially has paid his contract, I assure you. So it's worth it for Jacksonville in that way. But is Tim Tebow playing special teams? Like, that's my question. Is Tim Tebow going to be on the punt unit? Is he going to go out and block on punts? Is he going to go out on kickoffs? Is he going to block on a field goal? Because if he's not doing those things, he has no shot of making the roster whatsoever. None. Zero. There's no way. You can't get a third string tight end on your team and not have him play special teams. So that's what he's going to have to do. You know, like Taysom Hill is a guy that over the years we've seen him evolve and he's done all this different stuff with the Saints. But also, I mean, yeah, he's a quarterback, but he played wide receiver. He was a gunner on the special teams unit. He's tackled guys. We've seen it. He does that. That's part of his value. That's part of what made him such a great piece for the Saints over the years was he played everywhere and did everything. Players liked him for that. So if Tebow's going to be that kind of guy, Now it's a different conversation. If he's playing special teams, maybe he can make the team because he's also selling jerseys and maybe he's got like the tiniest bit of upside, or he's a good special teamer. He might be an awful tight end, but a decent special teamer. So if he can do that, he's got a shot. But again, the contract and all, it doesn't really look good for him. So I have my doubts. Now, the other thing is with Jacksonville that it's not so much about Tebow where I really want to get into right here, but obviously it happened, it was official this week. They just can't do the little things. They just can't do the simple things and live the normal NFL franchise existence. Did you see what happened to the Jaguars this week outside of Tebow? Some of their draft board leaked, which is just like...
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. There was a documentary that the team put together and involved the draft and things going into the draft. And there's a shot of their board and some of the grades of players that Jacksonville had, which the notable thing is Jalen Waddle got a ridiculously good grade. Now, he went 6th to the Dolphins, so it's not exactly a shock that he got a good grade, but he got the best grade you could get. So seeing that Waddle got a grade like that, some of the other prospects, the rating gets out. Is it the worst thing ever for the Jaguars? Oh, my God, everybody knows the draft strategy. No, but you don't put out your draft board. You don't give any information to anybody about how you evaluate talent.
You stupid idiot.
Yes, you don't do that. It's just, and this is the weird thing that's so complicated because you got to think, like football teams, any professional franchise at this point, is such a big, boundless operation. That's why these teams are worth $1 billion, right? Like, how many players, or it's not just the players, but it's your training staff, right? It's all of your coaches. Then you're going to go to the other side of things. You've got all your scouting. You've got your GM. Maybe you have a president. You're going to have your marketing team, PR. You're going to have all these people that run the events themselves, the games themselves, and that staff, and concessions, and parking. And, like, you're talking about a ton of people that work for the team.
It's Tebow time!
And now that it's Tebow time, yeah, like, I get that the marketing team is excited. They want to get all these different things out. They want to present it to the people, but you got to have some football sense. Like, you are running a football team here. You are a part of a football team, and it happens all the time.
True story?
Yes, in little dumb ways. It happens all the time. Like, you have, for example, the people running the Chicago Bears Twitter account. They put out Andy Dalton and like, here we go, baby, QB1.
You stupid idiot.
Yeah, that was dumb. That was dumb. They're trying to get people excited about their guy. Fine. But then, you know, Justin Fields gets drafted and you want to build up that momentum on Twitter. Fine. But you just like 2 months ago, you're like, yeah, here's Andy Dalton, QB1. So it's just a silly football thing that makes you look bad, you know? So for the Jaguars, I get it. But also, you got to know what you're doing here. The Dallas Cowboys, there was a lot of fuss with them before Dak Prescott had gotten his extension where he wasn't in promotional videos. Like, they put a big video together. There was zero Dak Prescott.
You stupid idiot.
Yes. I mean, you gotta put him in. What does it say if he's not in? It's a bad look. Now everybody's asking questions. Well, Dak Prescott isn't in this promotional video on Twitter. Are they going to re-sign him or not? What's going to happen with Dak? You wonder. Because it's all, like, whether or not you on the inside running a team think it's connected, everybody on the outside does. And we will treat it that way. So you gotta handle that stuff better. And it was a little thing, it's a silly thing, but man, having a couple of picks at the top of their draft board come out, it's just like, they've had a lot of weird issues already with ETN. Now the Tebow signing took forever. That was a very strange thing to happen. It's just a lot of weird stuff with Jacksonville. So, not a great look so far. If you want to get in, 855-212-4227, that's how you join the show. And now the ice cream sandwich is attacking me internally. I'm Vince Quinn.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I know, but I took a couple of bites of that strawberry. It was a Neapolitan.
I can't eat an ice cream sandwich without falling apart.
Yeah, I guess. I've never seen a Neapolitan ice cream sandwich, I don't think.
Oh, dude, you haven't lived yet.
Well, I got to tell you, I didn't like the strawberry. The strawberry, I passed.
What?
I took a bite or two, and I was like, eh, no.
Really?
No.
It's great.
I don't know.
It's the fake strawberry, too. It's not the real strawberry.
Is that better than real strawberry?
Yeah, I don't like the real strawberry with like the chunks of fruit in it, and it tastes too much like strawberry.
Well, I like strawberries,
though. This is fake strawberry.
Well, yeah, and I ate that, and I was like, yeah, so maybe I would like the real strawberry.
Strawberry. So much. I enjoy it so much more.
I haven't ordered regular strawberry ice cream since I was like 5.
Well,
I just don't
know.
I just don't do it.
Now you had strawberry ice cream again.
Yes. No. And I mean, I'm not. I'm thankful because you gave me a free ice cream sandwich. So it's not a slate on you, Krzysztof. Not at all.
Take it as one.
Thank you. But
this guy's a liar.
He's holding it against me forever. But strawberry ice cream in an ice cream sandwich because it's chocolate with it. Like chocolate and strawberry is usually a great combo. Now, I'm all about chocolate and strawberry, but chocolate of an ice cream sandwich. And strawberry ice cream, eh.
I try to get the Neapolitan ice cream sandwich all the time. They're just hard to find.
Well, with good reason.
to each his own.
Yes. That is one of those things. I don't want to get too deep into food takes, but it's like, you realize people have different taste buds, right? Like, they fit, like, they
yeah,
just don't
taste. Yeah,
I'm aware
that people are different. I just said, this is what I enjoy.
Yes. No, I'm not saying that for you now. I like what you said.
This
you
guy's
said
a
something
liar.
Intelligent. That's true. But a lot of people are like, oh, my God, you like, I don't know, you like, what's something dumb, cauliflower? Cauliflower is the worst thing on the planet. It's like, I literally have different taste buds than you. I just don't know how else to explain this. It's just different. So anyway, food takes aside, 855-212-4227. I want to get into LeBron James here. Can I get into LeBron? We got a couple of minutes here, Krzysztof. All right, let's hit the break, and I'll give LeBron his proper due, because there is just, I mean, the outrage that lit up the social media sphere today regarding LeBron James. And, oh, my God, how could the NBA cater to him in such a ludicrous way? Let's relax, people. Let's relax when it comes to LeBron James. I'll tell you the whole story on the other side. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Vince Quinn here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to get in, we've been talking about the NBA playoffs so far, 855-212-4227. You can also join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. And if you didn't see the LeBron James story, woo! Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here's what happened, okay? LeBron is involved in a tequila brand, which is totally normal. There's celebrities all over the place. They're all into booze, whether it's wine, liquor, beer. They're all endorsing something these days. I mean, you buy beer recently? Have you been to the liquor store? Do you see the variety? Do you see how it's changing? All the different things in cans and bottles that are coming up, different kinds of mixed drinks and teas and whatever. There's just it's crazy how many different drinks there are these days. So, you know, I don't think this is surprising to anybody. There's money in booze. There's a lot of money in booze. So LeBron is one of those people that has invested money in booze. It's a smart investment. Now, the thing is, he attended a promotional event sometime before the Lakers-Warriors game in the play-in, which is against protocol. Not supposed to be able to do it. Shouldn't go. But LeBron went. Drake was there. Some other famous people were there. He snapped some pictures. And, you know, pretty standard affair by all accounts. But because he attended this event and it's breaking protocol, people wanted LeBron James suspended. Let's suspend LeBron from the playoffs. Can we have any sense of rationality here? There's no chance, zero. There's no way that LeBron would get suspended for something like that. There's just no universe. And is it that they're treating LeBron James differently than all the other guys? I don't think so here. Really. There have been other stars that we've seen. You know, there's been other people that have been out and about in different ways. These guys are professional athletes. They are promoting a lot of different stuff. They're involved in a lot of things. So to just go and suspend him for a playoff game, wouldn't it, like, even if it was a totally average player, think of whoever the most average guy in the world is in the NBA that pops into your mind, whoever that guy is, what would it take for you to suspend them from a playoff game? What would it take? You don't want to do it. You're going to let it ride. It's LeBron James. Like, this policy, right? There's different things you can do within the policy of breaking protocol. So apparently there's warnings, there's fines, and then there's suspensions. This isn't a suspension kind of scenario. It's just not. Like, and part of the biggest concern is for the Lakers and the league, it's the idea of spreading, right? Like, that's what you're worried about, is the whole thing spreading. Now, the Lakers are basically all vaccinated. So for them, they'll be all right. I'm not going to say I know the numbers for the Suns, but I assume they're mostly vaccinated. I mean, at this point, if guys wanted it, they got it, right? If you're an NBA player, if you wanted a vaccine at this stage, it is quite easy for you to walk in and get a vaccine. Half of the stadiums have been vaccination sites, you know? So at this stage, it is what it is. Now, for LeBron to look at that and go, yeah, he needs to get suspended, like, it's just, this isn't favoring a superstar more than anybody else. I think for the most part, it's just common sense at this stage. Like, there's no reason to get LeBron now and go, oh, we got these protocols, let's just not have him in a playoff game. You've ruined the legitimacy of the playoff game taking him out. I mean, really, I think it hurts the legitimacy of the game that he wouldn't play. And then obviously on top of that, and this isn't the main reason for me, but it's the main reason for the league, you know, ratings and all that good stuff that comes with it. But it's LeBron. Things about LeBron drive people crazy, even when you like him. You know, like, I would say I'm a LeBron, all things considered, if I have to stack it all up, I'm a LeBron James fan. But even people that I talk to that are LeBron James fans, for example, the playoff game, the play-in game the other day against the Warriors, he hits the three. He's talking about seeing three rims, and he's hitting foul shots. Like, people are like, God, I love LeBron, but please give it a rest. You know, it's just, there's always something about him. It's always exhausting to people in one way or another. And you want to make it about LeBron James being treated differently than everybody else. But in this case, I mean, they haven't been suspending people like crazy for violating protocol. If anything, it's just people test positive and they're getting put aside. So I'm not worried about this. I don't think it's a big deal. I'm glad he's not suspended. Graceffo, you just put the headphones on here. I feel like, how do you feel about all this?
You know, rules in society. I mean, there are rules for some and there are rules for others. You know, that's the way I feel about it.
Well, if he's getting a warning or a fine, and that's part of what you can get.
Yeah, sure, but you said that no one's been suspended as of late. Like, Caris LeVert just got suspended or was forced to sit for, you know, just on Tuesday. So, guys are still breaking protocol.
Well, was he doing it for breaking protocol, or was he, positive?
They termed it as violation of health and safety protocol.
Interesting.
They're not going to tell you if they test positive or not.
Okay. Yeah, I just, it's got to be a hell of an offense. Like, if he was throwing a pool party rager with 500 people,
even then he wouldn't get suspended. You know it.
He probably wouldn't, but that's the kind of thing where you can actually have the conversation. For him to go to a small promotional event for tequila, it's just like, whatever.
Vodka.
Yeah, well, basically.
If it was for straight vodka, it'd be a different story.
That's it.
Because I love some straight vodka.
Well, there you go. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tony in Pittsburgh. Tony, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on the Tebow talk. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I think it's just kind of a promotional marketing deal, bringing some money for the team. I mean, I would be pissed. Like, I'm from Pittsburgh, so you look at a reference like Jesse James. I mean, he's a veteran tight end, free agent, started several games in the league, and he's not getting the chance where Tebow's been out of the league for a while, couldn't make it as a quarterback. I mean, you know, while...
Well, Tony, we lost you. And sorry, appreciate the call. I mean, for Tebow, it's... I don't think he's making the team. They're selling a lot of jerseys. Here's my one thing that I'll say about Tebow that right now I don't understand this at all is his jersey selling like crazy, right? So naturally, fine. I'm not really shocked about that. But who's buying those jerseys? Like, if I'm somebody that's buying a Tebow jersey, I'm not buying a Jacksonville Jaguars Tebow jersey. Why am I buying that? Like, why? You could buy for all the Tebow jerseys that you could possibly buy, unless you're a Jaguars fan. Like, if you're a Jaguars fan and you love Tebow, which I get, it's Florida, and that's, you know, he's from the area. So, like, that's going to sell a number of them. But if you live in, like, Wyoming, and you're just like, yeah, I like Tebow, and that's totally fine, do you really want a Jaguars Tim Tebow jersey?
Tebow time!
No, like, but it shouldn't be that Tebow time. You don't know what it's like. Let him make a team. Let him actually play in a game. Like, to buy a Tebow jersey now as a Jaguar is silly. Get a Florida Tebow jersey.
One thing before you continue on the jersey rant.
Fine.
Do you think that there's another third or fourth string tight end in the NFL with their jersey sold on NFL.com or NFLShop.com?
No, like the only...
No, so like, no. What are we talking about? You know they're going to sell it. Like, you know people are going to buy it.
Well, I know they're going to sell it. I know people are going to buy it. But if you're going to buy a Tebow jersey, get a Florida Tebow jersey. Like, get a jersey of when he was actually good. Like, you care about him because he was actually good then. That's part
you're
of it.
You're talking to a swarm of Gator fans that live in Jacksonville, Florida. Of course they're going to buy it. Like, what do you... The stunning thing is that people around the country are buying it.
Well, that's who I'm talking to. Right. If you live in Florida and you're a Jags fan, great. Like, get your Tebow Jags jersey. Go ahead and enjoy it when he gets cut in a month. But, okay, like...
Are you so sure he's getting cut, by the way?
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Like, if it's proven that... inevitably, it will be proven that he can't play tight end because, you know, he's never played the position in his life and he's 34 years old.
And who knows what his hands
shocking,
are.
Shocking. Well, no, again, yeah. The one time the Jets threw him a football, hit him in the head. So, it's inevitably proven that he cannot play tight end at the NFL level, will they cut him? I'm asking you, seriously, will they
cut
him?
Yeah,
Do you really think Urban Meyer will cut him?
Yes.
Okay, we'll see. I hope.
I hope so, too. But, I mean... And
you really can't see them stashing him on the practice squad, paying him?
Can they practice squad him?
Yeah, they can.
They can?
There's a veteran rule for practice squad
guys. Oh, that's right. They added that last year.
Yeah, it's still there.
Oh, man.
You can't see Tim Tebow making $12,000 a week working on his ball skills?
Oh, God.
In Jacksonville Jaguars sweats every day?
If they have him as a practice squad player, what a joke.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen, bud? Like, I'm telling you now, he's at least on the practice squad. There's no way they're cutting him. There's no way they're cutting him.
Well, I guess because he sells too many jerseys.
Right.
So it's going to be
But you know what else would sell jerseys? Winning football games.
Well, yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
That would sell jerseys.
No, I think you're asking for too much with that.
Oh, I can't, you know, you can't win football games to sell merchandise. Who'd want to do that?
No, that's crazy. You just got to get guys around the league for 9 years.
The worst record in the league since he took over the team, based on the date. Why would you want to win football games?
Yeah.
No.
You don't need that.
You just got to sell all the jerseys you can in London.
But again, if you're in London, like if I'm a Jags fan in London, maybe you get it.
First,
you're reevaluating
your life.
You like, can get why, a Tebow. Well,
like,
yes.
Why are you doing that to yourself? Like you could have literally, like you're in London. You get the NFL once a year. You could pick any team whenever they come through. If you're doing that to yourself, like why are you doing that to yourself? You're never going to experience winning of any kind.
Yeah, there's so many other teams.
It's not like you live there and like, you know, this is the roots of the community and I'm rooting for this team. No, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, find a different team. But yeah, again, like if you're somebody that just lives in the middle of the country and like maybe you're deeply religious and you like Tebow
right,
for that.
Right, there you go. That's it.
I get that.
That's why.
I know that's part of it.
See the forest for the trees.
I see it. But get a good jersey of him. Get one that makes sense. Like a Jaguars Tebow jersey is just a bad buy.
And plus it's new. People are going to, it's new. That's,
yeah.
That's why too.
Can you get, you just buy 11 from Florida.
Plus a lot of people have stimulus money hanging around.
Get 11 from Florida. If I was Florida right now, I would be trying to push 11 jerseys like it's
15,
nobody's business. 15, that's it. He was 11 with the Eagles, and that's all that matters. So, It's better than the other 11. Anyway, that was a dirty shot at Carson Wentz right there. That was not right. Anyway, don't buy the jersey. It's too late.
It's already the best-selling jersey in the league.
Return it for a Florida jersey. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
And it's a wild one out here, folks. It's Vince Quinn here on CBS Sports Radio. So, one of the things you have to understand is we get, like, so Graceffo's producing the show. People call in. When I give you the number, you call in, he screens your call, and if he likes you, he'll put you on. Somebody basically just called in and tried to explain to him that Tebow is like the greatest quarterback that's ever played. And let me just say,
he beat the Steelers in one playoff game. That Demaryius Thomas ran 90 of the yards on the catch.
Yeah, didn't he throw like 80 yards in that game?
Yeah, he was so great in the game.
Yeah, no, he was transcendent, which is why he bounced around to five different teams and was out of the league for 9 years. Great, and is it even
and he
trying
also said
out
Deshaun Watson is innocent until proven guilty, which is true.
Which is true.
But, you know, all 22 women are making it up. Got it.
Yeah, so good luck with that. always interesting out here. Always interesting. So anyway, if you do want to call in and you have things to say that aren't completely ridiculous, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. You can always hit me up on Twitter as well at It's Vince Quinn, where something hilarious on Twitter. So this was great. All right. One of the things about baseball that I really do take for granted, and you just don't realize the absurdity of the situation. Did you see what happened this week with Jacob DeGrom? Did you see what happened? Because this was magic. I mean, DeGrom is incredible. I mean, he's the best pitcher alive, and he has been for a couple of years. Like, the guy is going to be a Hall of Famer. His ERA is completely insane. Like, he's a miracle worker. And this guy, the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, who can throw a fastball, you know, over 100 miles per hour routinely. Well, he had a rehab start. So, where does he go for his rehab start? He goes against the Palm Beach Cardinals, a low A affiliate of the Cardinals. So, here you go with one of the best baseball players alive, and he's going against all of these kids in low A, and he's just blowing them away. I mean, he's just crushing them. There's a tweet from the organization themselves, the Palm Beach Cardinals. Jacob DeGrom is throwing 102 miles per hour. Someone send help. Oh, that's awesome. And I guess when you're a minor leaguer like that, it's got to be exciting, right? Like, it's got to be a really cool feeling to think, wow, I'm going up against Jacob DeGrom. Like, you shouldn't, there's no reason that you should be going up against him, right? You would, even if you're not a minor league, or whether or not you're going to be a major league player, you don't normally get those scenarios. You know, like, NBA players get hurt. They don't go to the G League. Hockey players get hurt. They're not going to the minors all that often. Some guys do, but not everybody. You know, you come back and you just play with the team. But Jacob DeGrom, he's thrown against low A. It's not even double A, triple A, high A, low A. Jacob DeGrom is just blowing past these kids to the tune of 3 innings, 0 hits, 0 walks. It's exactly what you would expect. It's just awesome. For these kids, it's like, wow, we're going against Jacob DeGrom. Wait, we're going against Jacob DeGrom? So just a funny little ridiculous story that happened over the course of the week. Now, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So let's talk about, because I want to get to Julio Jones in a minute, but first, we've had some stuff going on with the 10-second rule on Giannis, and they called a 10-second violation on a free throw, which just sounds crazy because I didn't know the rule existed. And according to Twitter and conversations I've been having, a lot of people didn't know it existed either. So they called that with 1 minute left in a playoff game. Should they have made that call? Was it the right thing to do? 855-212-4227. We go to Lucy in D.C. What's up, Lucy?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, remember, I can't even remember what year it was, man. But remember 1 year Karl Malone was getting drugged? He was getting drugged. Remember, it was so bad, they was counting down. Every time he get the ball, they was counting down from 10. That was the first time I ever came aware that the rule even existed. But Karl Malone, you said he was known for taking, you know what I'm saying, he had a weird little routine he did when he did his free throws. But, yeah, that the rule exists. But, yeah, Giannis probably they probably played with him tonight, man. They be trying to hate on Giannis, man.
Yeah, well, I've heard, because the thing that I heard that was interesting about all this was about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, there was a broadcast where they mentioned that Giannis took a long time and they were counting how long his shots went. But to do that as a broadcast or actually talk to the guy, they're just two different things, you know? So, like, did the Bucks know? Were they aware of it? Was it mentioned during the game or at any point that Giannis has ever done this? Because, yeah, like, guys, you see a lot of guys that take a while with the routine. It's just, it's part of the NBA.
Yeah. I think it's part of, like, the it's probably like the tactic of you know what I'm saying, like the other team probably already started talking to the referees or whatever, and start making them be aware of it, because you know they probably watching film throughout the season, so they know, okay, he don't get comfortable until after like 12 seconds, so ooh, okay, let's tell the ref now, you know, to throw him off his rhythm. So yeah, Giannis is gonna have to snip his little routine a couple seconds short, man, if he wanna be comfortable.
Yeah, he's gonna have to figure it out, and I appreciate the call. And that's the thing, is like he's not the best free throw shooter anyway, and he had a horrible game as a free throw shooter yesterday, which is part of why it was so close. I mean, he missed a lot of free throws. So it was a really weird game for Giannis. But now that he's gonna have to be aware of that with the routine, it's just one of those things where you go like, man, this is just something I didn't think we'd be talking about, but here you go. So, yeah, if you want to get in and talk about it, 855-212-4227. Now, the other thing, a big bit of football news that came out, it's been rumored for a little while, but the intensity of the conversations are really heating up again because it's getting to a point where the Falcons can go and trade Julio Jones. Now, Julio Jones is amazing, right? Like, there's so many great wide receivers in football right now, so pick who you want, but he's one of the top receivers in football. And for him to be on the block, that's a huge deal. Because you got to think of the caliber of player that Julio Jones is and what he could be for a team. I mean, there are teams that are a piece away. And Julio Jones is that piece. Like, there are plenty of teams that you can make the argument, okay, this team is really good. Yes, what if they add Julio Jones? Well, San Francisco 49ers, really good. What if they add Julio Jones? Well, Green Bay Packers, really good. What if they had Julio Jones? Oh, boy. You know, it's just, there's so many places that you can look at. I don't know if he could fit on the Browns. I don't know if the salary works for that. But if you've got Odell and Jarvis Landry and Julio Jones, I mean, oh, it's just ridiculous. That's an insane receiving core. So there's a lot of places where Julio Jones could be a guy that dramatically swings the odds of a team winning the Super Bowl. And that's huge. So you try to figure out some of those spots. But he's reportedly interested in a place that makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit. The report that Julio Jones is interested in going to the Patriots specifically to play with Cam Newton, that's interesting. Here's the thing. One, I think the way that we look, or, well, not we, because I'm a Cam Newton supporter. I'm a fan of Cam Newton. I like what he brings to the table. I think he's underrated over the course of his career. And what he's doing right now with New England, what he did last year, it's complicated, but it's not entirely his fault. But fans on the outside, a lot of people on the outside, don't like Cam. He wears funny outfits and hats, so whatever, forget this guy. He dabs in games, God forbid, you know? So a lot of people don't like Cam Newton. Fine. But the difference between what people, like what fans on the outside think of Cam Newton and what players think of Cam Newton is different. Like, there's a lot more respect for Cam within the league than there is outside of the league. So the fact that Julio Jones, out of all the places that he can go, who says no to Julio? Who looks at him and goes, you know, I don't think we need that. Not interested. Like, we're not even going to have a conversation about it. You know, everybody's got to have a conversation. Even if it doesn't fit in the budget, you got to have the conversation. It's Julio Jones. Let's just double check. Let's just make sure we can't fit him. He's interested in Cam Newton and the Patriots? Like, we don't even know if Cam Newton's going to start. You know, like, does he? He might. He probably will, just because, you know, it's Belichick, and is Mac Jones going to get handed the job? I doubt it. Belichick's going to make him work for it the same way that during the course of the year last year, Cam got benched a couple of times. But also, Cam did get benched a couple of times. And it's very strange to have Julio Jones reportedly interested in playing with Cam, knowing that he has been benched a few times, that a second-round quarterback, or got, well, no, not a second-round, that a first-round quarterback was drafted, and that's still the place to play. Like, if you just want to play in New England, okay, that makes sense. But the Cam part of the rumor does make it a little bit odd. Maybe they're buddies. I don't know. It might just be a personal friendship thing, and that's why he's saying it. But for New England, it makes all the sense in the world. They have problems at wide receiver. You know, and that's why this whole offseason, what do? They upgraded all over the place. Hunter Henry comes in. Jonnu Smith comes in. Nelson Agholor comes in. There's another wide receiver that I can't think of right now. Kendrick Bourne, which, like, okay. But it's something. So they're adding talent around there. If they add Julio Jones, how much does the conversation around the Patriots change? Because you look at the AFC East, it's a great division. Right? Miami, Buffalo. For whatever New England is, with all the guys that didn't play last year, for all the adjustments they made in the offseason, that's a dangerous team. You're not going to go into, even if you're like, yeah, I don't know if they're the best team in the AFC East, are you excited about a Patriots matchup? Like, do you feel great? Some teams you feel great. You know, it's like, oh, baby, we got the Jets week two. Sorry, Graceffo, but we have the Jets week two. Oh, man, I can't wait for that. It's a win. It's a win. We had scheduled day, like, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? You chalk it up. If you have the Patriots, you're not like, yeah, this is a cakewalk. So if they had Julio Jones, that's one of those things where you talk about who's going to win the AFC East. Well, you can make a good case for the Patriots then. There's a good argument to be made. So I am surprised, though. I am surprised that the rumor is where it is. We'll see what happens. Julio, it's basically, you know, June 1st is a major deadline in the NFL. So June 1st, June 2nd, like in the next couple of weeks here, we're very likely going to see the deal go down. But it's all salary.
Better now.
No. I guess it doesn't.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So the play-in is over. We have actual playoff basketball now. And the Warriors, they're not in the playoffs. So what kind of season did the Warriors have? Was it a success? I want to get to that in just a moment. But first, today on CBS, it's back to the Ocean Course at Kiawa Island for more live coverage of golf's second major, the PGA Championship. There'll be a familiar face or somewhat, or will there be a familiar face or someone new winning their first ever Wanamaker trophy? It's more live coverage of the PGA Championship beginning today at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific on CBS. So the Warriors played in that final game of the play-in. They played the Grizzlies. Now, the Grizzlies are not exactly your media darling, super sexy, fun, exciting team. But you know what? I'm a fan of the Grizzlies, man. Like, the Grizzlies, they're just fun, nasty basketball. The same way it was before, like, they had the Zach Randolph grinding years, you know? And it's got, it's that same kind of mentality where it's just, like, constant nasty defense just, like, getting all over you. It's a bunch of deep guys that they can rotate in and out. And for them to be a young roster, like, there's just a lot of fun, positive energy around the Grizzlies. It might not be, you know, the most easy media-friendly thing, but it's great to watch. Like, it really is fun to watch. And Ja Morant being at the center of it is exceptional. So going into this game, for me, it was a no-lose scenario. Like, I'm just such a big Ja Morant fan, and I want to see him grow. I want to see his star grow and people to get more familiar with him. But it is Steph Curry and the Warriors, right? Like, this is a dynasty. You know, this is a group of guys that Steph Curry is one of the best to ever play. You know, he's not just one of the best of his era. He is one of the best, period. And they lost. They lost. Like, I don't know how many people expected them to lose here after the season that they had, after the season that Steph Curry had. And so, given that they're out, that the Grizzlies beat them, well, Steph Curry, after the game, was explaining sort of the process that the Warriors went through.
We had a good little session in the locker room after the game where everybody's, you know, sick to their stomach, disappointed and frustrated that this is the end, this is how you're going out. But it's okay to pat yourself on the back for doing something that really nobody thought we could do.
There was a lot of doubt about the Warriors this year. There was a lot. Klay Thompson gets injured before the season. Super disappointing. And looking at the Warriors, I mean, really, there were discussions at the beginning of the year of like, well, you know, they're not a playoff team now with Klay hurt. And given how deep the West is and who knows if they're going to be anything. I mean, they started the season getting blown out at historic numbers. So for them to get crushed the way they did on certain nights, you were like, whoa, things are different here. Like, this is a team in transition. Steve Kerr talked about that a couple of times during the year. They had James Wiseman. You know, they had a top pick in the draft. And so looking at the Warriors and what this team was supposed to be, they were just sort of transitioning. But they did start to figure things out. And over the back half of the season, as Steph, because Steph had games early on where he blew up, but then that second half of the year, I mean, the scoring stretches that he went on were just ridiculous. I mean, some of these games where he's hitting like 10 three-pointers in a night, you were just like, oh my God, I can't, how is he doing this? He had a three-game stretch where he hit a total of 30. And it just didn't seem possible, the kind of things that he was doing. But he became a legitimate MVP candidate this year on a team that people didn't expect much from. Like, is this a failure from the Warriors that they didn't make it to the full-on playoffs? I don't think so. Because for them, they still have a chance to win a title. And when you look at this group of Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, those being the core pieces, we'll see what happens with James Wiseman, but they've got enough things going on that if I'm a player that hits free agency this offseason and the Warriors want to talk, I'm going to take that call. Like, if you want to win a title, you can believe it with Golden State. Based on the things that you saw this year, based on what you saw from Steph Curry, they have a chance. I mean, even if they were going to make the playoffs this year, you didn't really believe they were a title team. Like, nobody expected that. But you thought they would get in. Maybe they could win a round. They'd be a fun series. I mean, of course they'd be a fun series. It's the Warriors. Like, have you seen Steph Curry play basketball? The way he lost that game the other day, he had this one ball. He gets the ball. He's right under the net. He's falling over. He does this little, like, quick 360 spin. He chucks the ball up. It's just like, his athleticism is off the charts. And for them to lose like that, yeah, it's disappointing. For them to play the game they did against the Lakers and lose, because it felt like for a good stretch there that they were winning that game, it's a disappointment in the moment. But again, this is a team that next year, Klay Thompson comes back healthy. If they get the right addition or two in the offseason, they're a team that can figure this out. Like, they're a team that can contend next year, and that is still the goal. This was a lost year without Klay, and we all knew it. So, yeah, it's disappointing in the moment, but also, I don't take this as a knock against the play-in tournament. If anything, it's a testament to the play-in tournament. You had the Warriors there at the end of the play-in tournament. People wanted to see them in the playoffs. You have one of the biggest stars in the game. That's a success, isn't it? Like, that's a big win for the league. Did you tune into that game? Did you watch? Were you at least interested? Did you check the score? Did you read about it after it happened? Like, that kind of game brought attention. The Lakers and the Warriors, as much as, I don't know the next time we see a matchup of that caliber in the play-in. I don't know if that's happening anytime soon. But to get that this year, to see that game, amazing. Like, that was amazing. You got some quality games from the play-in. You got some blowouts, but you got some quality games. And for a team like the Grizzlies, this is exactly why the play-in works as well. They were a team on the fringe. They kept playing. They won enough games to get in on the back end. And now you've got this younger team with a young superstar that wins a couple of play-in games. And now they're going to get that playoff experience. They weren't in the playoffs last year. They missed it. So now they get the chance to get that experience this year. And for young teams in general, even if you don't get in, if they had played the Warriors and lost, to be in a playoff environment like that, because it was playoff basketball. It's do or die basketball. So you were seeing it. Like, how fun was that Lakers-Warriors game? I mean, the way, like, the defense of all these guys running around and diving on the floor, and Draymond whacked LeBron in the head at the net that one play. It's just like, you're just like, this is it. Like, this is what it's supposed to be. This is the best version of playing basketball. And we saw that. So for a young team to get that kind of experience, because the NBA is such a, it's a stepping stone kind of league, right? You see these great teams, and it's okay, 1 year you make the playoffs, then maybe you get to the second round, then hopefully you get to the conference finals, then the next year you feel like you're ready to go and win it all. Like, there's a grind to it. There's a growth to it. Luka Doncic, after the game today, they were like, so Luka, you only scored 1 point in the fourth quarter. You had 30 through three. What happened? Did you get tired? He was like, well, I was getting double teamed, and you know, my legs are pretty sore. So he was like, okay, yeah, you got a little bit tired. But it is an adjustment. It's a whole different style of play from everything you've experienced. So to see that, to get that, and now for the Grizzlies to continue on that, like, this is a reason why the play-in works. So I'm a fan. I think the play-in went great. And as much as the Warriors are the bigger star, not the worst thing to see the Grizzlies in the playoffs. It could be worse. So 4227, that's how you join the show. We're going to continue to talk a little playoff basketball here with Colin Ward-Henninger, who works for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. He's going to join us. We'll run through all the playoff games from today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.